you're here today and you need this message, and today we're going to look at overcoming frustration. Anybody in here been frustrated lately? Oh, look at all that. Yeah, it's a good thing you're here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them here today. You'll never be frustrated again. I wish that was true, don't you? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do without frustration. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at this is the classic story of frustration, isn't it? The classic story of frustration. And we'll look at some things and learn from Martha. Has anybody ever called you Martha? You know, you're all stressed out one day and they say, Martha, you know, you're just concerned about many things. And you know, they're hitting a chord, you know, because we all get frustrated, right? There's just so many things in life. How many just live long enough to know that life's going to present an opportunity to get frustrated almost every day? I mean, it's just going to. That's just the makeup of life. And so what we want to talk about today is how to overcome frustration, how to handle that frustration. Because I believe we can learn some things from the Word that will help us. In Luke 10:38, it said, "Now it happened as they went." Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, talking about Jesus. And so he and his dozen disciples are traveling. And it doesn't say they all went in. It said he entered a certain village. But we're assuming that they're all there. They followed him very closely for over 3 years. And it says, but he entered a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She was frustrated, if you will. She was frustrated with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part." Everybody say good part. when you come to frustrating times, let me give you a little hint up front. There is a good part. You know, the reason we don't find the good part is because we're not looking for the good part. That's a powerful statement if you'll get a hold of that. When frustrating times come, there is a good part. How many knows you have the ability and you have the intelligence, the capacity to look for the good part when frustrating times come? You really do, and I do. I mean, God's given us intellect and intelligence, and so when frustrating times comes, just remember what the Bible says, look for the good part. Look for the good part. And very quickly, your mind will say, "Well, there's nothing good about it." We'll tell your mind, "Shut up, mind your own business." There's a good part. All things work together for what? Good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So, in the life of purpose, and that's what we get frustrated about, isn't it? We're on purpose here today. We're on purpose. We're going to work on purpose. We're doing our washing our car on purpose. We're cleaning house on purpose. We're doing whatever we're doing on purpose. And all of a sudden, we have an interruption. We have an interruption, and we're frustrated. We're distracted like Martha. And he says, "You are troubled about many things. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not." Don't you love that? She's chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. How many know Jesus will take up for you when it's necessary? Here's the deal about Jesus taking up for you in frustrations. When you're in frustrating situations, especially when you're in a deal that's interreacting in a relationship, here's a real key. When He'll take up for you if you'll act like Jesus. Did you get that? He'll take up for us. He said the good part's not going to be taken away from her because she's in there acting like Jesus. She's sitting and she's listening to the Word. She hadn't thrown insults at Martha. She hadn't hurled anything back. She's acting like Jesus, and He says, I will help you. How many knows if we want to get frustrated and invent and do all the goofy things that we can think about doing or not so nice things, then we're pretty much on our own until we decide to do it His way. How many knows everything He put in His Word for us to do is because He wants to bless us? You know, and so here we are. Now, let's look at the story. In the very first line, now it happened as they went. How many knows this? They probably came in just by, it says it happened, they didn't get an email. How many ladies would just be honest and say, if somebody's coming to my house, just let me know you're coming? And why do you want to just let them know they're coming? Maybe because you want to make sure you're there, but what else? Be prepared. What's prepared? Why don't you just stay prepared? I can remember when I was going to church and we looked down the road and good Lord, the preacher pulled up and let's get the beer cans out of the off the table and put up the stuff and pick up the floor and all this, and now I'm the preacher coming up the drive, you know. That's why you want it. You want it because you want to have everything in order, right? You want everything to be in order. You don't want people to see the way you live, right? Some people don't care. That's good and bad, isn't it? But to be comfortable where you are. But it just happened that they're in the neighborhood and they came in. And so it's and you notice in the story that it's not Mary's house. And so of course she's not taking authority. She's not taking over. But and it goes well, just the way we talked about envy last week, how when Ahab wanted the piece of property, that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it was a good offer. He offered him money. He offered him property that's better than the property he was getting and all that kind of stuff. But so it starts off well the same way in this story. Martha welcomes him into her house. And his sister called Mary, sat at Jesus' feet, and heard His word. Everything is good to this point. And then frustration sets in. Now, here's something we all do. Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted with much serving. And so, and here's something I want you to get a hold of. When we get distracted with much things, it pulls us off. And it doesn't say what Martha had planned for the day, but obviously it wasn't cooking for 13 people. It wasn't entertaining today. And so, because she wasn't prepared to entertain. But here's what her frustration came partly from, not communicating what needs to be communicated, right? Martha evidently, as far as we know in this story, gets up and runs to the kitchen. You ever run to the kitchen? Maybe somebody shows up at your house around dinner time or right before lunchtime, and if you're that kind of makeup, are you hungry? And you know, you run into the kitchen and you're starting to prepare something, but they're coming unannounced, but now it's your supper time, or maybe you've had somebody show up while you're eating supper, and you knew there wasn't probably enough to feed everybody, but you invite them in, and it's kind of an awkward situation, and we don't say what needs to be said sometimes. We're like Martha. Instead of saying what needs to be said, you know, she could have said, Mary, would you like to help me? Oh, but she's distracted. She's not thinking about asking a sensible question. She's already distracted. I mean, notice when you and I get flustered, we're not really thinking rationally. If we wait, and instead of asking the proper question that needs to be asked, and it's amazing to me as Christians how we do this more than we should, at least, and more than probably what we really ought to or could. We don't ask the things that needs to be asked. We don't talk about the things that are in the room that needs to be talked about. We would rather get frustrated and just keep it to ourselves, or we'll go tell somebody else about this frustrating situation. We will. When Jesus said, if you see a brother and there's a difference, what did He say? Talk to him. approach them. Let them know. Hey, this is something I'm concerned about. But we would rather just not say anything and get frustrated and start thinking things like Martha did. I mean, here's probably the people that she loves most in the world. You know, Jesus has raised her brother from the dead, and her sister is sitting in the living room. It should be a good time, shouldn't it? I mean, knows if Jesus came to your house, it should be a good day. I mean, knows Jesus comes to your house often. If you invite him, he'll come right on in, sit with you, and talk with you, and you can hug on him and love on him. It's a good day, isn't it, when Jesus comes to your house? It is, unless you get frustrated. Listen, here's frustrated, according to the definition, is to prevent from attaining a goal or fulfilling a desire, to prevent the fruition of. Jesus comes to her house, and all of a sudden her goal and Jesus' goal are different. You ever been in the same room with different goals and different, you know, somebody comes uninterrupted. Yesterday we was headed out to some friends. I was just getting ready, and one of my cousins called from East Texas, and he was on his way from Wyoming back to East Texas, and he was 40 miles out of the city. He said, I'm headed through, just wanted to give you a call. I'm headed through. I'm going to spend the night trying to get to Paul's Valley, and then I'm going to go see your dad in the morning. How's he doing and all this stuff? And so I said, well, you know, we're doing good. And we talked for quite a while, and we were in the truck, and we were headed out to some friends to go eat dinner in Shawnee. And so on the way out, and after I hung up, Janice said, well, is he coming over? I said, well, no, we're going to dinner, and he's headed to Paul's Valley. Well, did you ask him if he wanted to come over? I said, no. Two different minds and two different goals, and then I felt bad about not asking, you know. I felt bad about, you know, hadn't seen him in a long time. We grew up real close together, and he's coming through my town, but he said, I'm headed to Paul's Valley, and this is where we want to hurry up and try to get there. We drove all day long, and this, you know, like 6:30 in the evening, and so he's trying to get there. So I said, no, he had a plan. She said, well, you could ask him. You know, I was distracted with much going, you know. And it happens everywhere, doesn't it? It's not just when people come to our house. It could be at work. You know, you've got an assignment. You're on your assignment. And the boss comes in and gives you a different assignment. And some of you that are not multitaskers, you're just kind of like, oh my God. You know, and then, how many knows the boss? That's why they call him the boss. He gets to make the decisions. And you get to help him out with whatever decision he makes. And so you can get frustrated and say, I can't do two things. Or you can just say, I'm working on the thing the boss gave me. See, big difference, isn't there? Just to say, I can't. You know, one of them says, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know why they're piling off. Another one says, I'm just focused on what his focus or her focus is. Big difference. Or we can get like Martha in the kitchen. I've often said about Martha, you know, the stew is not the only thing cooking in the kitchen. She's in there, and she's doing a good thing, isn't she? How many knows when Jesus comes to your house, if you get up and prepare supper for Jesus, that's a pretty good thing. You know, people, you know, he leaves and say, what you do this evening? I fed Jesus. What you been up to? You know, that's kind of small in comparison, isn't it, of whatever you were doing. And so it should be a good thing, and then the people that she loves the most, because she didn't have the guts, the nerve, the, I don't know, whatever it was, to say what needed to be said. She could have said this, hey, I didn't know you all were coming. What is the schedule? What would you like to do? Jesus would have probably said, let's sit down and let's just visit a little while, and then when we're done, we'll get up and help you, or I'll take you out, or, you know, I mean, food was no problem for Jesus, right? If 5,000 was at the order for dinner, he just prayed and fed 5,000. So it's not provisions. That's not the problem with this gathering. That's not it at all. What's the problem is right up here and right in here, isn't it? That's where the source of frustration comes from. We do what Martha does, and this is why we get frustrated, and this is why frustration goes into stress, and stress goes into this blown out situation, is because we don't say what needs to be said. We don't say what needs to be said because we might hurt somebody's feelings. We have in our new community, we have a little community pool and clubhouse. And they hire the kids and some adults to come down and they sit in a chair and they're, what I was told, they were lifeguards. And so we were down at the pool the other day, and it was last weekend on Saturday, and then we went back on Sunday afternoon, and the little girl that was there, we've got to know her a little bit, and in the lifeguard, she's over there, and like this is the pool, she's over there, and she has a book, and she has it on the wall, and she's standing over there reading her book. Here's the pool, here she is reading her book. So Sunday we went back, and I think it's me and Summer and Addie and Jana was the only ones in the pool, and so I thought something aggravated me. I was frustrated. And so I called her by name and I said, I have a concern. I said, yesterday when we were here and there was several kids in the pool and all, I said, you were standing in this. I said, I may be off track here and with your job description. If I am, you can help me, but I'm concerned and I want to talk to you about what I'm concerned about. And you know, we can either do that or we can talk to everybody around the neighborhood about her, right? And it don't help anything. And so I says to her, I said, I have a concern. I said, you know, you were standing there at the pool reading a book with your back to all the kids. And she said, well, I'm not, you know, we're really not lifeguards. We're not certified to do that. We're just here kind of to enforce the rules. I said, well, let me ask you, how can you enforce the rule if you're facing that way looking at the book? I said, if a kid falls and slips or sucks down some water and you're not paying attention, what are you going to tell their mother? I said, this is as much about you as it is about the kid's safety. I said, you know, if they fall and bust their head and you're reading your book and you got the back, what are you going to tell the parents when they ask you, whatever your title is, what happened? You know what she said? She's laying there on her little floor. She said, that's why I'm looking this way today. But, you know, I'm not frustrated anymore. That was a concern I had, and I could have got frustrated over it. And I'm thinking, you know, how many kids are there? Because you don't have to have a parent. If you're a member of our neighborhood, you don't have to have a parent. You just need to be a member to be there. Sign yourself in and get in the pool. And so I had the talk. And was it easy? It's kind of uncomfortable, you know, I'm sure for her. And I told her when I was through, I said, you know, I'm not a fuddy-duddy, but I'm looking out for the best of the pool and for your best interest. And so we went ahead and had a good swim and good conversation with her but you know what? There's times you just need to have the conversation or you're going to feel this frustration. Listen, and here's the code, here's the Bible code. Speak the truth in what? Love. Speak the truth in love. You know, I didn't get angry. I didn't get my voice elevate with her. I just spoke the truth in love. And then I noticed that evening before the overseer of the pool came that hires all these kids and runs the schedule and stuff. Before she got there, I noticed the little lifeguard had put her book away. She had put her cell phone away, and she was sitting in her chair before the boss came. just an observation. But I'm telling you, we can get just like Martha in a situation. How many knows there's good in here? There's good in here. Jesus is at your house. Jesus is speaking. And anytime Jesus speaks, how many knows we should be listening? There's a good part here, but she can't see it because she has a different direction she's going and she didn't have the conversation. Well, she didn't have it when she should have had it. She had it when we have it a lot of times, and that is after we've rode frustration for so long that now we're ready to blow over. And now, and if we wait that long, we're going to sound like Martha. Let me ask you something. You want to sound like Mary or Martha? You want to sound like Jesus or Martha? Good way to sound like Martha is just don't talk about what needs to be talked about. Just let it stew for a while and then just spout off whatever comes out. Listen to what she says here. She says, Lord, do you not care? Anybody ever ask you that? You know, they're up doing something, working, or they're investing in something, and all of a sudden they ask you, well, don't you even care? See, that attacks your character, doesn't it? A lady called on the phone the other day, is a lady that was supporting breast cancer, and she said, sir, we're asking for donations, and I just let her talk, and I was trying to be nice, and she said, and could you help us out with this donation? I said, no. I said, but I do have things that I support, charities I support that I'm just as passionate about, and I appreciate what you're doing in your field. And she says, well, sir, here, the good news is if you can't give that, there's a lower amount. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm just as passionate about what I support as you are, and I appreciate your passion, but no, I will not do it. She said, well, can you give the least amount? I said, ma'am, I am not giving to your cause. You don't get it, you know. Yeah, I could have hung up, but that's just not in me, you know. Some of you, you know. I'm a teacher. I'm born to help people. See, now she knows that if somebody's just as passionate about their cause as you are, it's time to stop. And that's another way to tell them, you know. And so you try. That's an outside source, isn't it? That's not... You know, I didn't cause that. And as I was walking back over the chair, Janet, I told Janet, I tried to be nice. She said, I heard you. You tried. So some people is going to push you, you know, to the limits. Some are. It's kind of like with your children. You know, your children know where their boundaries are, and they'll step right out to the limit, won't they? Here, let me help you, parents. With some of you that's constantly frustrated with your children, you've got the boundaries out too far. Because they'll come out wherever the boundaries are. They just know the boundaries. You know, they do. I mean, your dog knows, right? If you got a dog, they know where the boundaries are. And your children's smarter than that. So you just got the boundaries out too far. And that's why we get frustrated. If you're frustrated constantly with your children, I can tell you, your boundaries, you need to pull your boundaries in because they're way out there. And you go through this ritual and this routine about... And they know you have to get to a certain point, to a certain elevation before you're going to do anything. And so you just don't, you know, my dad didn't have, he had short boundaries. It was boy. That was his boundary. I mean, boy meant I will take action if I need to. See, he didn't get frustrated at me. It's just boy. And what I knew that, he didn't call me by name. He called me boy in that tone. I just knew that's his boundary. And if you want to go past that, the next one was action. He'd take action. And I'm telling you, this will save you a lot of frustration. It can do that at work. If you've got this constant bickering at work or source of frustration, you need to sit down and talk to whoever it is about your boundaries. They're just way out of balance to get to that point. They never should. There's a misunderstanding there. There's something that needs to be clarified. There's a conversation that needs to take place there. Same way in marriage or whatever else, whatever relationship. When your boundaries are way out here, you just, it's amazing to me as I do life coaching, how many people just put up with confusion and mess because they don't set a clear boundary and then enforce that boundary. It's amazing to me. And they live in a source of frustration all the time. You know, it's amazing. And so now she's not said, what would you like to do for dinner? She's not said or asked, you know, she's not asked, Mary, would you, and maybe Peter, would you help me? You know, I know you're a fisherman. You probably can cook fish, right? Come on in the kitchen. Just invite some in if that's the order of the day. But she's taking on, because it's in her house, you know, it's taking on this complete authority, you know. Now this is inside her house. She could have said, you know, okay, what is the agenda? This is my house, and so she has the right, the authority to say. in a calm manner before she gets to this place. What are we doing here? What would you prefer we do? And then do it as a team, right? But no, we want to get frustrated and just pout off or stomp off or not say anything or go tell our friends or blow up later. You know, but we don't have to get to that point if we'll say what needs to be said. Have the conversation. That's the key. If you want to write something down, have the conversation. That's what we need to do. Have the conversation that needs to be had. You know, if there's a source of frustration, there needs to be a conversation. It just needs to be. And the sooner the better. That's the key. You know, she's waiting and it doesn't say how long, but boy, she's distracted with much serving. She's got a lot going on in the kitchen. And so she's distracted with much serving, and this is when she comes and attacks Jesus' character and her sister's character. You don't care and she's lazy is basically what she just said to Jesus and Mary. That's pretty hurtful, isn't it? Because she wouldn't have the conversation. Can I tell you something? You know, we're Christians, right? And we're supposed to be Christ-like. Amen. It's a good place to say amen right there. But it's amazing to me how inconsiderate we can be and how frustrated, how quick our frustrations go up. When somebody decides, for instance, to just obey the law. You ever get frustrated somebody just wants to obey the law? They want to do 55 and a 55 or 25 and a 25 and you're behind them and you get frustrated because somebody just wants to obey the law. Is there any Christians in the house that's ever done that? And because somebody wants to obey the law. You know, the older I get, the more I'll try to obey the law, and especially around them little streets, you know, where they're just sitting there waiting, you know. And I get so tickled now when people come around, ooh, you're going to get a ticket, you know. But it took me a while just to get there, you know. But a few tickets. I got 5 no left turn tickets before I learned. They're serious about not turning left when it says don't turn left. They're really serious about that. One time I did it right in front of a cop because I thought he had pulled over down the street for doing the same thing, I guess. And I thought, he's not looking. I turned and he just writing his ticket, and when I got up there beside him, he goes, oh, man. That guys are serious about that. Nobody was at my intersection either, and I'm from the country. Nobody's at your intersection. It's free game, you know, just turn. But you know what? That was my ignorance. It shouldn't be frustrating to me because it's clearly marked. It's the law. In fact, some of you go, and I've been there, some of you go farther than that. You get frustrated at people that's obeying the law in the fast lane. They're doing 70, but they won't pull over. And you're like, well, my Lord, what are you doing? It's the fast lane. Should we give an altar call now? Wait, I've got more. We'll make one call here in a minute. Here's one that I thought, you know, we do this all the time, and we get aggravated when people around us, especially in front of us, practice good stewardship financially. We do. You ever been to the grocery store? They've got a big bag of groceries, and boy, finally, the last item, and they pull out the purse, this big, thick envelope of coupons. Oh, my God! They're trying to practice good stewardship. They're trying to make ends meet, and we're standing and saying, oh, get your buggy, and you're going to the next line, you know. How dare them practice good stewardship in front of me? And we're frustrated because people are trying to do what'll help them and help their family and keep us safe. And I thought, man, aren't we shallow Christians? Shallow Christians, aren't we? People obeying the law, people practicing good stewardship, and it's a source of our frustration. Shame on us. Next time somebody's doing the coupons in front of you, go up and say, high five. Come on, high five. Good stewardship. Good stewardship. Come on. Got some more in there? I'll take one of them. You got some more in there? You know. Instead of you know, trying to make them, let them know, I am frustrated because you're trying to save your family money. I just want you to know that. You know. Now we can have the altar call. I came in Sunday. We had a meeting here at our church. And when I got to the meeting, and I'll cover up the names here, but this piece of paper was on my desk in red ink. It says, "Our copier is a piece of junk!" Exclamation point. It's signed by three pillars of the church. And I have the gift of discernment, so I could tell they're frustrated. I don't know, you say, how did you know? I just have that gift. I have that gift. Our copier is a piece of junk. So one of the pillars walked into my office that was in the meeting. I said the pillar number, let's see what number she, pillar number three. I said, I got your note about the copier. And she proudly said, yes, I signed that. Again, I can tell I have discernment. She was frustrated with the copier. And I said, well, what's wrong with the copier? And she said, it is a piece of junk. I said, well, I figured that from your critical letter. I said, if your letter was to be critical, point accomplished. I said, but that doesn't help me much when I call the copier guy to tell him to fix it. Mr. Elder, what's wrong with the copier? It's a piece of junk. Well, Mr. Elder, what's wrong with it? She said it's a piece of junk. Fix it. You know. Here's your leadership. And so I said, is the copier not printing wells? And pillar number three said, oh no, it's printing okay. I said, well, now we're getting somewhere. Now that's helpful information. See, that's the conversation we should have had on the paper, right? The copier is not, you know, but we're like that. That in pillar number one, the writer of the said Wednesday night, she said, it was just a joke. It was just a joke, yeah. And so I says, well, is the printer, what is it not doing? And finally, pillar number three said, well, it just keeps getting jammed. I said, there you go. I can call them and we can work with that. See, that's helpful, isn't it? And they did have fun with that. And I know it was, you know, Kishadana and Cindy didn't mean to, you know. Oh! You didn't think I was not going to tell, did you? Because they need prayer. I just want you to know because they need prayer. All the intercessors, be on guard. They need, you know. We'll lay that right down here on the altar, you know. Pray for that. Yeah. Well, you know, Donnie already said Cindy, so he knew number one, you know. So he's discerning like me. We have that gift, you know. So now, here's the deal. And, you know, the deal is they have there's a better copier in there now, and yeah, and if you walk in, and my wife says in frustration, when I told her I got tickled at this, and I was telling my wife about it, she said, well, I'll tell you one thing. It would be nice to have some scissors and tape and something in there. Pillar number four. So Jim and I were up here and we were taking the lawnmower in and it wouldn't start or something. Mark had called and so we was taking it in and I went to the copier room and I looked at it and I had called a guy and he said, man, we can give you a better copier, upgrade it for no additional charge. And this one with our techies help, he says, we can run lines or whatever we need to run back there and it'll print. You can print from every station, you know, my office here, there. So if we want to do that, that's an option. He said, they'll hook it up for free if we'll just get the technology back there. But Jim and I walked in, and I look at the copier room, and I thought, oh, my God. And there's just stacks of paper and just everywhere, and just, you know. And I said, get the can. We're like, boom, boom, you know, because it's, and I thought, this is probably part of the reason that the paper had been in there, I don't know how long, and it just, you know, it wasn't real good. So we got rid of the old, and I went and got a new case of paper, and we put some in, and we got that all clean. And I went and bought scissors. We have scissors. We have scotch tape. We have three staplers. And guess what? Under the pile of paper, there was a stapler. But we'd rather just be frustrated than look and clean and do, right? Because it's easier, isn't it, to be frustrated. It's not working. It's just a junk. It's just a pile. And be nice to have. Huh? Yeah. Well, pillar number one came in and says, you know, in our prayer meeting, interrupted our prayer meeting. Are y'all praying? We need a refrigerator over at Ground Zero. Pillar number two. I said, why don't you just complain about it? That's what you did, and you got a new copier. She said, okay, we need a refrigerator. You know, it's a piece of junk. You know. This is God's cream of the crop, right? Huh? Have the conversation in a way that's helpful. I mean, really, have the conversation. Have the conversation that needs to be had, and say it in a manner, you know, in a manner that is going to be helpful. And when we wait, if we wait till we're flustered and frustrated, the longer it is, the worse it's going to get. How many know that by now? You just know that by now, don't you? I mean, because in our mind, I'm reading a book, and this week, I always try to kind of read a book, see if there's another ideal or two in there. And this guy, and basically, what he said in the top of the book is, "Working with you is killing me." That's the actual title of the book I was reading. And basically, in that book, he says, you know, when you're flustered and frustrated and things, he says, you go out and you do whatever it is that kind of decompresses you. You might want to take a walk, you might want to do a swim or water aerobics, whatever it is, you know, massage, whatever it is for you, bubble bath, you know, whatever unwinds you. And then he says you meditate on the actual problem. What is the problem? What is the real problem here? And I thought, that's really good advice, isn't it? That you unwind first, kind of decompress before you say anything. But take a minute and decompress, and then evaluate what is the real problem. If I'm standing in line, and the lady, the gentleman, whoever it is with the coupons, how many knows this source of frustration is not about them? They're trying to practice their good stewardship. They're trying to make the ends meet. So the source and the real problem here is me, isn't it? It's me. I'm aggravated with a system that will help people help themselves. And so that's pretty humbling, isn't it? He said, if you'll humble yourself before the Lord, God will exalt you in due time. So in the line, I can get an attitude for somebody practicing good stewardship, or I can say, I humble myself because I'm not that good of a steward that this person is. I don't take the time and the energy to take something that's offered free in the newspapers and things to do what they're doing and give God praise for them. Maybe even say a prayer over them, because the source of this really is not about them. The person that's obeying the law in front of me in their car. The source, again, is me, isn't it? It's not. Now, if they're, you know, gawking around and stuff, you know, and not paying attention, which happens a lot of the times, you're sitting at a light now and people are on their phone or texting and they're sitting there in this green and they won't go. And you hear a lot more honking now at intersections because of those. But how can that, you know, he says, what is the real problem? And then he says, what part does the individual or the others play? And here's the danger, I thought, in that. Really, I thought if I think better put would be, what is the part I think they are playing? Because let me know, sometimes what I think is my problem and what you're doing wrong or someone's doing wrong is totally different than what they're actually doing wrong. You ever notice that? So I would put one more step in there to say, what do I think their part is and have a conversation with them to understand what their part is. But either way, it's going to resolve this frustration, this stress, this tension that's there. And then, of course, he said, after that, what is the solution? You know, and then we should work on that together, I think, as individuals, work on whatever the solution is. All I'm saying is you know what? We don't have to do this. We don't have to be that way. Look with me, and we'll close here. Look with me in 1 Peter, the third chapter. Or excuse me, the fifth chapter. 1 Peter, the fifth chapter. And I understand who he's writing. You know, he says to the elders who are among you. But here's something that at one point, how many knows if these are the elders among us and they're practicing and they're exhorted to do this, then how many knows there are examples and we should as individuals try to emulate that, what our elders are doing. Kind of like Paul said, imitate me. He's following Christ, and he said, imitate me. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? When somebody says, imitate me, they think they have a life that they think is worth imitating. And probably what he should have had a disclaimer, imitate everything I do that looks like Christ. You know, because how many remembers when he got mad at Mark and because he didn't finish the journey, and Barnabas wanted to take him along on the next journey, and he said, that little scout is not going with us because he didn't finish the last mission, and we are not taking him. And the tension was so tight that they finally went their separate ways. That's frustration, isn't it? It's beautiful to later on to see him tell John Mark, and he makes it right, but in a source of frustration. So this is, I understand this is to the elders, but just look at it with me a minute. It says, to the elders among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, is also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And so he's saying to the elders, shepherd the flock, the pastors, the leaders, shepherd the flock which is among you. Be a shepherd to them. And what I want to give to you and me is shepherd your life. Shepherd your life. Don't let situations and encounters shepherd your life. We should be good stewards of our life and look like Jesus with love and compassion, humility and mercy and grace and all that all the time. Now, it's going to be harder to practice it in certain situations and circumstances. I understand that. But he says, you know what? We are the shepherd. We are the ones, he said, that will give account when we stand before God. So he said the best way to do that, prepare for that, and not dread that, is to be a good shepherd over our life right here where we are. Shepherd your life well. Shepherd your life well. Take responsibility for your life here. When we're constantly blaming economy or somebody or something or some boss or some friend or they make me so mad or this is, you know, and this, I hate this and I hate, you know, that. No, take responsibility. Take responsibility. You'll never get happy until you take responsibility. We take responsibility and then we don't act like we want to, because Jesus said if we lose our life, right? If we lose our life, we will find it. That's what he's saying. If I don't act like whatever these ill feelings and worldly feelings that's rising up within, if I don't act like that anymore, if I kill them, somewhere in that dying process, I'm going to find new life that I never knew existed. For me, it was forgiving people that had wronged me and praying over them. I found new life in that. Oh my God. It was just brand new life for me. Changed my life completely. Just not having to stress about what people think or leaving that division there in an unhealthy manner, you know. Even if the other side doesn't reconcile, how many knows you can still have a good life by trying to approach them and not being frustrated like they are. Approach them in love, speak the truth in love, and watch God work on your behalf. Even if they go off furious, that was my source of shepherding my own life that really became real to me. He said, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So it's not this haughty Christian, you know, I'm God's. But he said, you know what? With humility, being an example of what Christ would do, acting like Christ. And watch this. And when the shepherd appears, when Jesus appears, the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. He said, that's the payoff, you know. That's the payoff, is when we kill this old fleshly thing that wants to just abide in frustration, not have the conversation. We kill that. We say, you know what? I'm going to have the tough conversation. I'm going to do it in love. And we walk in. He says, all of a sudden, when he appears, he said, man, there's great reward with that. And I tell you something else, there's great reward right now where we are today when we do that. Saying what needs to be said. Not saying it in a haughty manner, but saying it with love. It says, likewise, you younger people, listen, he said, submit yourselves to your elders. You ever get frustrated? What's going on? In our meeting Sunday, we talked about what we're going to do here and how we can... One of the things was the sound, and I know some of you think the sound's too loud, and we're trying to do our best to accommodate you. We understand that some like lower, some like higher, louder, and to me, I'm just here, and whatever it is, I'm just going to praise the Lord. But we're going to supply earplugs back there on that little deal. We ordered a bunch of earplugs, and that's our first cheapest way to bring down the sound. And we're not, this isn't a meeting, so don't raise your hand or ask a question. I'm just telling you, and trying to be a good shepherd and to say, we got the younger, we got the older, some like it cooler, some like it hotter, some like it louder, some like it softer, some like it earlier, later. You don't understand that, but here's what we have, and here's what we're working on. But I just wanted you to know that we are trying to say, we'll identify frustrations when we hear them, and we'll try to make it better. So earplugs is our first cheapest source. And then if you would like to contribute instead of just be frustrated and gripe, happy face, come on now, happy face. We're going to take the baptistry off the stage. We're going to put a small one back there and rearrange that. And we're going to try to spread it out a little bit and see how that works. And then if we need to, we're going to enclose the drums in a case over here with a glass case and all. And, we've got steps to do that we've talked about. And I was very proud of our praise team for saying we might do this, we might try that, and we would work with this as a team. And I say that to say, he said, shepherd your life. And you can, if something is not right here, something's not right at work, something's not right in family, you can shepherd that in a way that's not frustrating, it's not griping, it's not complaining, because when you do that, you've really fallen into the influence that is either carnal at best or satanic at worst. This is not conversation time. This is not, you can't raise your hand, no input. I thought I made that clear. That was not loud enough for Randy, was it? Yeah. Okay. We'll catch it later though, right? And he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And so in our frustrating moments, we need to remember, we're to be submissive to one another. Not frustrated, not angry, not upset. Submissive to one another. And to be clothed with what? Humility. Humility. Oh my goodness. In our sources of frustration, that's a great garment to put on is humility. Because that's a hard one, isn't it? In a source of frustration, will you be honest with me? That's a hard garment to put on when you're frustrated, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, it just upsets me. I'm going to just put on humility right now. That's not so bad now. We just don't do that. But he's saying if you can get there, he said, God resists the proud. Remember a while ago when I was telling you, God doesn't help people when we want to do it our way. You can do it your way. I can do it my way, but not with God's help. And how many knows there's a lot of power in God's help? He said, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So if we can humble ourselves in the midst of this situation, source of frustration, we'll find God's help. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. Due time. Some of you, here's what I'd suggest. If the music is too loud for your sensitive ears, then we understand that, but we need resources. So just give resources. Give resources in prayer that God would provide all the resources that we need to do everything we need to get the sound levels where we need it. Yeah, you see. Now, and then here's the frustration relief. I thank God for this verse right here. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. How many cares did He say we could cast on Him? All. You know what? However you want to say it, however you want to present it, just cast them on God. Because He gave you permission. He said, come to Me, I'm the source. Don't go to your neighbor, don't go to your best friend, casting all your you know, and talking and all this stuff. He said, come to me and just tell me all about it. I'm here. I'm all ears. He gave us permission, invites us to come. We've been invited to come. And I'm telling you something. He's listening. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's the satanic influence. Frustration, if we lay in frustration too long, I guarantee you Satan will grab hold of that and begin influencing what we think. And it'll get worse. Now watch this. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, whoever you're frustrated at, they're going through the same type of frustrations. Maybe some different area, but they're going through similar things in whatever area that frustrates them. We're all in this together. People pull out the coupon book in front of you. It's not a conspiracy. They drive slow in front of you. It's not a conspiracy. We're all in this together. They do things to aggravate you. You know, it's not a conspiracy. Verse 10 says, but may the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When we follow God's path and God's pattern, He said, these are the things. We'll be perfected. It don't mean we'll be perfect. Just mean we'll be completed in Him and established. We won't have to have this same source of frustration throughout our life. We'll be strengthened, and He'll settle us in a mode that looks like Him. And He says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do pray today that You would just help us. Help us today, Lord, to grow past areas of frustration that's plagued us for a long time. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we look at the source of frustration, the first thing we'll do is examine our own heart. Because you know what, Lord? We're the only ones that can control our attitude and our impatience and our mind and what we think and what we say. And I pray that You would give us strength, Lord, in times when we need to have the conversation like Martha should have done, and we see where it goes. We blame and accuse and slander people's character because we don't have the conversation when we need to have it. And so help us, Lord, to love people and love You enough to have the tough conversations that need to be had in love. Help us to set boundaries at work and in our marriage and with our kids and wherever we function on a daily basis, that we don't have to live in frustrations anymore. You know, that we'll tackle the tough issues as they come, and we'll do it quickly, and we'll do it in love, and we'll do it with humility. We'll do it with a win-win situation, saying, you know, how can I make this a win for both of us, for all of us concerned? You know, we'll take the heart of God and help us to get there, Lord. We just thank You for helping us. We need help in this area as Christians. And we thank You, God. We thank You for bringing it to our attention today at how we look and how we act and how it's not Christ-like. And we thank You, Lord, for all the growth that we've experienced, but we want to grow more like You today. And so help us, Lord. Forgive us, for one, for getting frustrated in areas that we have control over. And help us to begin to say, how can I help be a problem solver in this matter? And maybe it's just as simple as saying, you know what, forgive me for getting frustrated at people that's just doing what You call them to do. You know, Moses got frustrated at the people of God he led. Jonah got frustrated at the assignment You gave him. And so we know that this frustration thing will probably follow us most of our life. But God, we want to be champions for You. We want to be people that will grow and get past the petty things that we shouldn't be so frustrated over. And for those maybe that's sensing frustration with their children right now, I just pray that You'll open their eyes to see the reality of what they're doing. I see that all the time, Lord. And I just pray that You'll help them to realize that this is a creation that God has given them responsibility for and the privilege to love and to understand. And so help them to have the hard conversations with love and humility. Help them to set boundaries where they need to be set so the frustration can just flee away. Or at least be minimal. And for those that's having frustration at work or in marriage or whatever area it is, God, help them, Lord. Give them wisdom today to set boundaries and to have the conversations that need to be had. Make them early so they're more of like a Mary and not a Martha. Help us to do that. We pray that for us today. And we thank you, Lord, for helping us. Forgive us, God, for our pettiness. And anoint us to become champions for you. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen. Amen.